Dorian, this is horrible. Something has changed you completely. You look exactly the same wonderful boy who day after day used to come down to my studio to sit for his picture, but you were simple, natural and affectionate then. You were the most unspoiled creature in the whole world. Now I don't know what has come over you. You talk as if you had no heart, no pity in you. It is all Harry's influence. I see that. The lad flushed up, and going to the window, looked out for a few moments on the green, flickering, sun-lashed garden. I owe a great deal to Harry, Basil, he said at last. More than I owe to you. You only taught me to be vain.
Well, I am punished for that, Dorian, or shall be some day.
I don't know what you mean, Basil, he exclaimed, turning round. I don't know what you want. What do you want?
I want the Dorian Gray I used to paint, said the artist, sadly.
Basil, said the lad, going over to him and putting his hand on his shoulder, you have come too late. Yesterday, when I heard that Sybil Vane had killed herself...
Killed herself, good heavens!
Is there no doubt about that? Cried Hallward, looking up at him with an expression of horror. My dear Basil, surely you don't think it was a vulgar accident. Of course she killed herself. The elder man buried his face in his hands.
How fearful, he muttered, and a shudder ran through him.
No, said Dorian Gray. There is nothing fearful about it. It is one of the great romantic tragedies of the age. As a rule, people who act lead the most commonplace lives. They are good husbands, or faithful wives, or something tedious. You know what I mean. Middle-class virtue, and all that kind of thing.
How different Sybil was. She lived her finest tragedy. She was always a heroine.
The last night she played, the night you saw her, she acted badly because she had known the reality of love. When she knew its unreality, she died, as Juliet might have died. She passed again into the sphere of art. There is something of the martyr about her. Her death has all the pathetic uselessness of martyrdom, all its wasted beauty.
But as I was saying, you must not think I have not suffered.
If you had come in yesterday at a particular moment, about 5:30, perhaps, or 5:45, you would have found me in tears. Even Harry was here, who brought me the news, in fact, had no idea what I was going through. I suffered immensely. Then it passed away. I cannot repeat an emotion. No one can, except sentimentalists. And you are awfully unjust, Basil. You come down here to console me. That is charming of you. You find me consoled, and you are furious. How like a sympathetic person. You remind me of a story Harry told me about a certain philanthropist who spent 20 years of his life in trying to get some grievance redressed, or some unjust law altered. I forget exactly what it was. Finally he succeeded, and nothing could exceed his disappointment. He had absolutely nothing to do, almost died of ennui, and became a confirmed misanthrope. And besides, my dear old Basil, if you really want to console me, teach me rather to forget what has happened, or to see it from the proper artistic point of view. Was it not Gautier who used to write about La Consolation des Arts? I remember picking up a little vellum-covered book in your studio one day and chancing on that delightful phrase. Well, I am not like that young man you told me of when we were down at Marlow together, the young man who used to say that yellow satin could console one for all the miseries of life.